If you take your Bibles this morning and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, please. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the Spirit of Truth. In John chapter 7, in verse 37, it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." It was an invitation. And that's all you can do with people. All you can do with people is invite people. Do the same thing that Jesus Christ did. Make the invitation. Make it available. You can't make somebody love God. You can't wish your commitment and how you feel about God on your children, on your family, on your friends. It'd be a lot easier if we could, maybe. But you can't make someone love God. God's got to gel in that person's heart, and they got to decide for themselves if they want God. God has given us free will. Some people will reject Him and have to find out the hard way, because at the end of the book, it says the day of wrath is coming, and the people that have had a chance to reach out to God at that point in time, it's going to be a different story. It says, "In that day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He cried. He made it available. Verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." This is what Jesus said. And it's still the same foundation. It's he that believeth on him. But he wasn't talking about living waters like I'm drinking here. Verse 39 says, "But this spake he of the what?" Spirit. He was using living waters with reference to the Spirit. He spake this about the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what?
Glorified.
So he's talking about something that's going to be available. He's talking about something that is in the future. And he's talking about these rivers of living water that are going to flow out of the individual, but he's not speaking about water literally. He's talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But it wasn't given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We see here from these verses that the Spirit is also called the Holy Ghost. See? Verse 39. "But he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given." There's not two things he's talking about. There's not a Spirit and a Holy Ghost. He's talking about one thing. And the one thing he's talking about in this particular verse is the Spirit, also known as the Holy Ghost. Now look at Numbers chapter 11, please. "And Jesus said, For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified," or God said, by way of John. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 24, "Then Moses went out," Numbers 11, 24, "and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and he spake unto Moses, unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, that was upon Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. So God took some of the Spirit that was on Moses, and he dispersed it out. You know how you deal cards? That's what he did. He gave out, he dealt out a little bit of that Spirit to those 70 elders. He said he took of the Spirit that was upon him, and when the Spirit had rested upon them, they prophesied. But there remained two men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, but they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto Joshua, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit, what? Upon them. Now, when we were in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, Jesus had said the Spirit had not been given. However, here we see that Moses and others had the Spirit. So either Jesus was wrong when he said the Spirit had not been given, or he must be talking about a different Spirit. See? And we know that Jesus wasn't wrong. Verse 25 of Numbers 11. Look at it. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the Spirit that was, what's the word? Upon him. Gave it unto the 70, and it came to pass that when the Spirit rested, what's the word? Upon them they prophesied. Verse 26, but there remained two men in the camp, the one name of Eldad and the other name of Medad, and the Spirit rested, what's the word? Upon them, as it was written. Verse 29, and Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit, what's the word? Upon. You see? It's over and over again. The Spirit was placed upon people. There was a Spirit available under the Old Covenant. And this Spirit was only given to a few people. You can go through the Word of God and see where only certain people, very few people in comparison to the numbers in humanity, had the Spirit. And it is said of this Spirit that it was what? Upon this person. The Spirit is referred to as being upon the individual. Now in Psalm 51, this is a psalm of David, and it's a psalm of David when Nathan, according to verse 1, came unto David after he had gone into Bathsheba. Okay? So what David did was David committed adultery with another man's wife. Okay? That's what he did. He took, you know, for himself another man's wife. And that's a sin. You don't do that. And he said in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. So it was a transgression that David committed. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from what? Okay, so in verse 11, we have some extra information added light regarding the Spirit under the Old Covenant. The Spirit was upon, as we saw with the record of Moses, individuals in the Old Covenant. And here we see that the spirit could be removed if that person continued to walk in disobedience. And that's the key, to continue to walk in disobedience in that day and time, because no one was perfect. So that spirit that was available in the Old Testament was upon only a handful of people, figuratively speaking. And that spirit could be removed if a person continued to walk in disobedience. Look at John chapter 7 once again. But this, verse 39, spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Look at chapter 14. So here, this Spirit that he's speaking of cannot be the same Spirit that was available under the Old Covenant. They could be similar, and they could have things in common, but they were not identical. The Spirit that Jesus is speaking of is something that's going to come in the future. After that, he is glorified. In John 14, in verse 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be, what? In you. The Spirit that Jesus is talking about here is said to be a Spirit that will be with them forever. That's what it says. Okay, be with them forever. Verse 16. He may abide with you for how long? The Spirit that was available in the Old Testament could be removed. It wasn't something that was going to be with them forever. They had a chance of losing it. There's a difference. You see it? And it says that, verse 17, he dwelleth with you and shall be what?
In you.
Now, the Spirit that was in the Old Testament was what?
Upon
a person. Now, there's a great difference between being upon and being in. If I took a hat and I put it upon my head, that's upon. But if I took a cheeseburger and I ate it, that would be what?
In.
There you go. So there's another difference. The Spirit under the Old Covenant was upon a person. The Spirit that Jesus is talking about is going to be in a person. And it's going to be in a person for how long?
Forever.
In other words, they can't lose that Spirit. Verse 26, chapter 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you into remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in other places, is now referred to as the Comforter. It's also referred to as the Spirit of Truth. These aren't different spirits. These are one Spirit referred to by different names. And here it's referred to the Comforter. And it is this misunderstanding between the Old and the New Covenant that has caused some in the church to go astray regarding the operation of the Spirit of God. For instance, take the ministry of a prophet and what some people call personal prophecy today. And they go to the prophet, and the prophet lays hands on them, and the prophet prophesies over them and gives them God's will, God's insight, prophecy for their life. The personal prophecy that's going on today is unscriptural in the Word of God and according to the Word of God. The personal prophecy going on today is based on the Old Covenant and the office that the prophet held in and under the Old Covenant. The prophet under the Old Covenant and the prophet under the New Covenant do not operate the same way. There are similarities in their ministries, but they are not, once again, identical. Why is that? Because the prophet of the old covenant was consulted because he alone and exclusively had the Spirit of God and would give the individual or individuals God's word concerning their questions for guidance. If you wanted to know what God's word said, you went to a man that had the Spirit of God, and he then brought forth God's word to you. Today, all people have the Spirit of God, and there is no need to go to the prophet to find out what God's will is for your life. The first thing that you go to find out what God's will is for your life is the written word of God. That's number one. You learn the word of God. You see what God's will is. For instance, in 3 John it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health." So is it God's will for you to prosper? Yes. Is it God's will for you to be healthy?
Yes.
That's how the word of God works. Number one, that's the word. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, it's the word that gives you light. It gives you direction. It lights up the way. Thy word. Under the old covenant, God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest had access to the presence of God. And he only had access to the presence of God once a year under the old covenant. Okay? That's where God dwelt. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 18, the scripture says, "For through him, we both," talking about Jew and Gentile, "through him," Jesus Christ, "we both have access by one Spirit unto" what? Now, every born-again believer, every child of God, any son and daughter of God has access to God 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Under the old covenant, that wasn't possible. It wasn't available. You had to go to someone who had the Spirit of God in them if you wanted access to God. You had to go to either a priest, or you had to go to a prophet or someone with a ministry. Someone who had the Spirit of God. God would give the Spirit of God to the prophet so he could stand in that office. God would give the Spirit of God to the priest so he could stand in that office and communicate to God. God would give the Spirit of God to the king so he could administer the things of God in the kingdom. He was supposed to. But he needed the Spirit of God to do that. You understand? But today, in this administration, everybody has the Spirit of God. So there's no need to go to the king to find out what the word of God is for your life. There's no need to go to the prophet. There's no need to go to the priest. Because in the old covenant, you could not get to God. You had no access to God. When you went there, it said access denied. But by the Spirit that you have now, everybody has access to God. And it's through one Spirit. Not many spirits, it's the Holy Spirit. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, you believe God raised him from the dead, you're saved, the Word of God says, God gives you that Holy Spirit as his gift to you. And that gift now makes it available for you to have access to God. Under the new covenant, every born-again son has access to the Father. Number one, it's the Word of God. See, it's the Word of God first and foremost. Number two, it's the Spirit of God that lives in you that is your guide. Look at John chapter 16. Verse 13. "Howbeit, when he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will" what? "Guide you into all truth. For he not speak of himself whatsoever." Here he's speaking, he will show you things to come. The Spirit that's going to come It is a spirit that's going to guide you. Guide you. It'll show you the way to go. You understand? It'll guide you. When someone went to the prophet in the Old Testament, they went to the prophet in the Old Testament so they would know the way to go. They wanted guidance from God. They wanted to know what to do. What direction should I take? They needed help. You understand? But in the New Testament, when everyone has the Spirit of God dwelling in them that's born again, that's saved, one of the jobs of that Spirit now is to guide you. And it will guide you into all truth. You will know what is right and you will know what is wrong. It'll guide you into all truth. Where's that Spirit live? Inside of you. And under the Old Covenant, God lived where? In the Holy of Holies. In and under the New Covenant, God lives where? In each and every believer. And His presence is made known to you by that one way, Holy Spirit, that He gives you. Now it is your spirit. It's a permanent spirit. It says the Spirit will guide you if you will learn to listen to the Spirit. And that's the great key. You need to learn to listen, to recognize and listen to the Spirit. The prophet under the new covenant, the ministry of a prophet under the new covenant, may confirm what you already know from God. Or if you're not walking on the Word of God, He may confront or establish God's Word in your life. But God is big enough to speak to you Himself through the inward man, the indwelling Spirit. Problem is with people is they don't learn how to listen to the Spirit. Because the Scripture said that He will guide you into all truth. Look at Galatians chapter 5, please. And this is where people get in trouble. Because number one, they don't know the Word. And number two, they're lazy. Can't find a prettier word to say it. So number three, they go to a prophet, quote unquote, and they find out, what is God's Word for my life? Well, if you read the Scriptures, first of all, believed the Scriptures, and acted on the Scriptures, that would take care of 90% of the problems, 95% of the problems that you are faced with in life. Honestly, it would. If you read, believed, and acted on the Scriptures, that would resolve 95% of the problems you're faced with in life. People don't want to do that. They don't want to study for themselves, and they don't want to take the Word and apply it. I don't want to forgive you. Look what he did to me. Look what she did to me. I'm never going to forgive them. I'll go to my grave holding this grudge. How many times have you heard that crap? Well, that's unscriptural. See, you know the Word. You don't do the Word. So then you get all these problems that come into your life, and you wonder why you got these problems. The prophet under the old covenant gave you God's Word because you didn't have access to God. That's not true anymore. Everybody has access to God. There is a ministry and there is a calling of God for a ministry of a prophet in the New Testament. But the prophet in the New Testament does not function as the prophet in the Old Testament did. There's a difference. There's a change. And the problem is that people still want to live under the Old Testament and apply the office and function of a prophet from the Old Testament to the New Covenant, and they still act the same way. That's why they get themselves in trouble. They get themselves in trouble. Because they don't have to read the Word themselves. I'll just go to the prophet, will tell me what to do. Well, that was true at one point. But everybody has access to the Word now, and every born-again son and daughter of God has the Spirit of God. And the Spirit, one of the Spirit's jobs is to guide you. Galatians 5, verse 18 says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under what?
The law.
To be led of the Spirit is different to be led of the prophet. Because to be led of the prophet belongs to the old covenant, which includes being under the law. You see? We're not under the law anymore. We're to be what? Led of the what? Spirit. Where's the Spirit at? It's inside you. It's inside you. Look at Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of what? The Bible says that a son of God should be led by the Spirit of God. That's what the verse says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? A son of God should expect to be led by the Spirit of God, which indwells them. It's the Holy Spirit. See? Now the Spirit of God is also called a comforter. When the comforter comes, parakletos is the Greek word, the comforter. So this Spirit is the one who leads you. This Spirit is the one who comforts you. This Spirit is the one who will guide you. And this Spirit is where? Amen. It's inside of you. And you confirm the Spirit of God most of the time by the Word of God. But there will be times where you will not be able to confirm what the Spirit is prompting you to do by the Word of God. You won't. Because the revelation or the Spirit might say inside of you, make a right-hand turn instead of making a left. Well, where does it say in God's Word that we always make right-hand turns? It doesn't. You understand? But there are times where the Word of God will confirm whether it was the Spirit of God that prompted you to act a certain way. For instance, when I was a young believer, I was always out speaking the Word, always working with people 5-6 days a week. I was everywhere you could be. And I ran into a person one time who I spoke the Word to, and they started to believe God's Word, but they were receiving opposition at home. So I believe that the Spirit of God said to me, just relax, let things calm down, and then in a couple months come back to fellowship after everything blows over. Well, if I knew the Word of God the way I should have known the Word of God, what they did in the book of Acts is when they got opposition from the high priest and from the Pharisees, they had a meeting and they prayed and they said, give us more boldness to speak thy word boldly and declare it. But I didn't. And I could have sworn it was the Spirit of God telling me. So I gave that unscriptural advice to that individual, and that individual just disappeared from the face of the earth. See? That's what I mean by being able to confirm what the Spirit of God is leading you, telling you, by the Word of God. Generally speaking, 99% of the time, God will not contradict His Word. Okay? However, there are times in God's Word where He breaks His Word because He looks upon the heart. Who was it? Hezekiah had a Passover, and they were supposed to do it this way, and they didn't do it that way. And they didn't have enough priests, they didn't have enough ministers. And the Word of God says that in spite of it, God healed the people, even though they didn't do it the way God's Word said it should be done. See? Because God's bigger than that. He looks on the heart. Okay? But that's an exception, and it's very rare. Most of the time, the Word of God is right to the point, and you can bank on it. Okay? We're to be led. The Word of God says that the Spirit is the comforter. The word comforter, it means summoned. Summoned. It's one of the definitions of the word comforter. He summons you. It says to call to one side, especially to be an aid, an assistant. This Spirit's called the Comforter. It will call you. It'll say, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'm going to give you some help here. I'm going to be your aid. The problem is, if we don't listen to it, it can't help us. And yet God says, I'm talking to you. I'm trying to direct you. You know, I got this feeling in my gut. This isn't right. But you know what we do? We ignore the feeling in our gut and we go and do whatever. Because we're too busy looking for God to do something big. We're too busy looking for God to do something spectacular that we miss the supernatural. That quiet little voice. See? Because we're waiting for the light show. Because this is what we think we should have. Instead of saying, nope. That's a revelation. N-O. No more, no less. Nope. N-O-P-E, no. This word, comforter, it also means to be an advocate. It fights for you. An advocate fights for someone. Means one who pleads another cause. The word comforter also means to be an intercessor. Is the Spirit an intercessor?
Yes.
Sure it is. It means to be a helper, this word. A succorer, an aider, an assistant. When the Comforter is come, when the Spirit of God is come, it's going to help you. It's going to guide you. The Spirit inside you is called your helper, your assistant. It calls you to aid you. It gets your attention. See? You should get to know the Spirit of God inside of you. Okay? Because it's calling to you. It's trying to direct you. It's trying to help you. It's God's way of working in you to will and do of His good pleasure. So you should get to know that Spirit of God. And you should get to know how that Spirit of God works in you. Because it doesn't work the same in everybody. Because this particular spirit that you have was factory made for you so that you could understand it. This is what explains why you hear different people talk about God teaching them and guiding them somehow, right? And this is why you would have someone talk about, you know, one of the first teachings I ever did in my life. When I was a young man, just learning the Word of God. God taught me through colors. Through colors. And it was the Spirit of God working in me because I was familiar with colors. And He was able to teach me a truth that I then presented as a teaching through colors. You know, He might teach Brent through numbers or equations or formulas. He might teach Jonathan about a dirty window. He'd say, look through this window. Everything's marred. That's what happens when you're not on the Word. You understand? He might teach Chuck about a valve blowing off because he didn't release the pressure upstream, whatever. This is the Spirit of God. It's tailor-made to an engineer, to a window cleaner, to a plumber, to a musician. You understand? It's tailor-made to you, as to a mommy, to a gymnast. It's tailor-made. It'll teach through music and dance to Miss Bridget. But it won't teach through music and dance to me. Because I don't understand that stuff. You understand? But if you get to be quiet and listen to the Spirit of God, it'll talk to you and teach to you. And it will influence you. It will guide you. It will direct you. You see, it's sent. You don't go to the prophet so you can be guided and directed. You ignore the Spirit of God. You go to God. By way of the Spirit that's in you. By way of the Word. And He'll work in you. And He will give you guidance. And He will give you direction. Learn to listen to His advice and direction. And the only way you're going to learn to listen to his advice and direction is through prayer and meditation and doing the word of God. You know, I was at a big meeting, thousands of people, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people were there. And the one teacher made this statement, said, Spirit of God told me to go jump in the lake one day, so I went and jumped in the lake to see if that was the Spirit of God. And it wasn't, but that's how that person had to learn if it was the Spirit of God saying go jump in the lake or don't go jump in the lake. See? Because if you do nothing, if you make no action, no attempt on action at all, you'll never get out of the gate. You just won't. And especially when you're dealing with the spirit realm, you got to act. Because you're put in positions where you can't just sit there and say, oh. So you learn to listen. And you learn to listen by prayer, meditation, and by doing. If God puts on your heart, you ever hear that expression? Or I've been just thinking about this a lot. Well, you know what? If you've been thinking about something a lot and it's a godly thing, maybe it's God stirring up that spirit inside of you to get you to do something more than think about it. Because the sad thing is this. A lot of people say, you know, I've been thinking about you for this, or you've been on my heart. Okay, well, did you pray for me, or did you come to me and say, can I do anything for you, or is there anything you need help with? See, they get the prompting of the spirit. Seldom do they act on the Spirit of God and say, I don't know why I'm here, but is there something I can help you with? How many stories have you heard where people would just go, be called into a church, walk into a church and say, I don't know why I'm here, but God told me to come here, and then lead people into manifestations or minister or whatever? Let's see, if you're driving down the road and God says, go over here, and you just don't go, you're never going to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. Now we're going to add this to the equation. I can't use my phone this morning because Lynn's on the phone hookup. But I was going to, and I was going to have somebody call me. And I was going to ask questions into my phone, because the phone is a spirit, would represent the Spirit of God inside of me. And then the answer would come from God. But the problem is this, in this world, if I had my volume up on 5, I could hear clearly. Okay, my volume on 5 is being in the woods somewhere, being in the Word for a week, praying, meditating, having the things of God in my mind, and then having that communication with God. But the devil comes along, and he takes something, and he places it over my phone. So now when I ask God a question, which would have been Chuck in this case, he's going to answer my question back. The answer is muffled. I can hear, but it's muffled. And then he takes a pillow, and he takes a hammock, and he takes this. And the devil just keeps on loading stuff on top. And that doesn't mean the spirit's not there. That doesn't mean it's not even working. It just means that my mind is so cluttered with all this junk going on that I couldn't hear the Spirit of God if he got a bullhorn and put it to my ear and yelled in it. You understand? Why is that? Because I got so much junk going on in my life. My wife's giving me a hard time. My husband's giving me a hard time. The dog pees all over the place. My bills are due. Work is, my boss is riding up my butt. My body hurts. I'm not getting any younger. And you start putting politics in it, right? So you're out of your mind. And you got all this stuff cluttering up your mind. And God's down there, yo, remember me? And just baskets of dirty laundry. Understand? And what happens then is this. We just are independent of the Spirit of God. We forget about the Spirit of God. We don't cultivate it. We don't develop a relationship with it. You know what it means to develop a relationship with a woman if you're a man, and a man if you're a woman? You know what it takes? Conversation. You understand? I know my wife because I talk to my wife. My wife knows everything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. No one can come to her and say, such and such did such and such at such and such a time. She'll look them right in the face and say, I already know that. Tell me something I don't know. That's what she'll say. Because I have no secrets from her. You understand? Because we talk. We've developed a relationship over the years. That's another point. You got to be faithful. Same with the Spirit of God. If you're going to walk by the Spirit, you got to learn to recognize the Spirit. Get familiar with them. Get acquainted with it. Don't let it walk by you and say, what's that? That's your Spirit. Eternal life. Don't you know who I am? But see, we ignore it. I'm not telling you to replace the Word of God. Don't do that. Because you got a bunch of people walking around saying, God told me this and God told me that, and it's contrary to what the Word of God says. That's BS. Don't do that. Okay? And you're almost like doing that, going to a prophet, because if the prophet's got his head up his butt, which, believe it or not, men with ministries do at times, and he gives you the Word of God, it's not going to be the Word of God. It might be the Word of the prophet, which that in 35 cents will get you a cup of coffee. See? So you have to learn. This is an individual thing. I can't teach this to you. I can give you examples. But as I started this teaching this morning, I can't make you love God. I can't make you run after God. I can't make you desire to want to live in God's fullness. I can't do that. You have to make that decision. But I will tell you this. If you don't make that decision, the devil will make it for you. And he'll get your life so wrapped up in news and politics and music and sports and whatever else you want to mention that he'll just drive you right away from the intimacy that God wants for you. And God so desires. So much so that he gave his only begotten son so he could die for you so that God could put that Spirit in you. The Spirit had not yet come because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus knew. He knew of the coming Comforter. And he knew that it would not be upon you. He said it will be in you. And he said that it will dwell with you forever. And knowing that, among other things, he went to the cross. So he could make this available to you, which I would say is a pretty important thing. Then why would we ignore it? Right? Why would we replace it? Why would we let the devil muffle it? Don't do that. Don't let him do that to you. False news. Don't let the devil lie to you. I stole Chuck's teaching. His title, anyway. Look at John chapter 16. We'll close here. Listen. If you set your heart to seek God, if you desire to know God, if you desire to learn to walk by the Spirit that's inside of you, to be led, to be given the all truth regarding a circumstance, how important is that to know the truth regarding a situation? Father, is this person lying or not? It says the Spirit will guide you into all truth. It will give you the truth that you need. Should I go this way or should I go that way, Father? The Spirit will tell you. The Spirit's never wrong. You know why? Because it's God's Spirit and God's never wrong. So how important do you think that is to be able to develop a relationship and a rapport that you could just go to the Father and have him answer that question for you? It's pretty damn important, wouldn't you say? Real important. But, you know, for the most part, we just ignore it. We just let the Spirit of God lie dormant in us. And yes, we should speak in tongues so we can build ourselves up. But we should also shred the garbage out of our mind so that when God answers, we can hear. And we should also be at the place in life where we can hear from God. Not at a place in life where we can't hear from God. God doesn't change. God is constant. And if I put that music on right now, you could all hear it. But if you start walking out the door, by the time you get to the end of that hallway, you're not going to hear it. And that's the problem, is we walk away from God and we walk away from his voice. And then we replace it with junk. Okay? And then we begin to think that the junk is the voice of God. And that's when you get all kinds of problems going on in a ministry. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. What does a guide do? What does a guide do? He guides you. He what? He leads you. A guide leads you in the right way to go. A guide instructs you on what to do. This is what you do if this should happen. A guide directs you. He shows you. You know what a guide does? He points you in the right direction. A guide steers you the right way. Right? The Spirit of truth is come. He will steer you the right way. He will guide you. He will give you direction. You understand? He's the one who will lead you. He'll lead you. The Spirit of God doesn't push you around. The Spirit of God will lead you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. He'll lead. He'll prompt. But you have your decision to make whether you want to be led and you want to be directed. And that's what happens when we choose the spirit of man over the Spirit of God. See? A guide is a counselor. It's someone you go to when you have a problem and you say, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Well, you know, that's what you should be doing with God. And then you should prayerfully wait until you get the answer via the Spirit of God inside of you. Now, are there other ways answers can come? Yes. But primarily, the whole point of the death of Jesus Christ was to make the Holy Spirit available, some of it. And why would you ignore that when he now gave his life for you to have that? Direct access to God 24 hours a day. Now, let me put it to you another way. Direct answers to all your questions 24 hours a day. Why would you not want that? We can't approach this. Only one guy once a year could approach it back then. But now, the Lord did all these things 24 hours a day, 365 a year. Direct access to God to get your answers to your questions for direction, for guidance. Why wouldn't you want that in your life? Why would you ignore what God is working in your heart? He keeps bringing it back to your mind over and over and over and over again. That's one of the ways the Spirit of God works in you. That's one of the ways Spirit of God leads you. I would talk, why don't you talk so-and-so about the Word? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you do this? And then, you know, a week will go by and you get that thought again. And then 2 weeks will go by and you get that thought again. You're never going to know unless you act on it. And I want to tell you something. When you act on it and it comes to pass, it's exhilarating. And it's a confirmation. And you start to begin to build a habit, an understanding that this is how the Spirit of God works in me. Every time I get that, and it's the night before and it won't leave me, and I know I shouldn't do it, and I go and do it, and I mess it up. You should learn from that. You should say, yeah, I know what that feeling's all about. I know where this is going or not going, right? That's God trying to work with your mind. He's trying to work with your heart and your body, trying to teach you, this is how I'm trying to communicate with you. But if you ignore it, or if you don't put two and two together, or if you just get so distracted that, you know, the devil keeps you confused and you're not being able to put this together, you're not going to learn. And you'll go for years making the same stupid mistakes. And all along, God is trying to teach you, but you're not getting it. I hope that today I can point you towards getting it. Be God inside minded. Become accustomed and tune into the Spirit of God inside of you. But don't do that exclusive and not and ignore the Word of God. And walk around and be a self-proclaimed prophet and get into all this goofy stuff. Don't do that. We have the Word to hold us in check. We have the Word to hold us in bounds. We have the Word that tells us what's right and wrong. And when we start going to the edge, the Spirit of God says, I wouldn't go there if I were you. And you say, yes, Father. And then step back and start again. The Spirit is a guide. He's a counselor. The Spirit of God is to guide you, not the prophet. There is a ministry for the prophet. And at times a prophet will confirm, the prophet will confront, the prophet will give direction. But that is not the office of a prophet in the New Testament. The office of a prophet in the New Testament is to speak the word, to call God's people back to the word. The office of the prophet functions mainly in the church and in a global way for global sins. See? But a prophet is not so you have an individual dial 911, tell me what my horoscope is today. Because that's what that is degenerated down to, basically. I'm looking for my guidance for today. So I'm going to the prophet. I'm going to get a personal prophecy. Get yourself a personal pizza. You're better off. And let me tell you another thing. There's no difference between going to the internet and checking out your horoscope for today and getting that input than there is going to a prophet when you ignore the word of God and you have the Spirit of God living in you. Don't do it. If people would learn to listen to the great counselor inside of them, 95% of the secular counselors would be looking for new jobs. He's the great counselor. You want input? You want direction? He's the great counselor. He's in you. If people would read, believe, and then act on the word of God, 95% of their problems would be gone. And the only way that you'll learn to do this is by prayer and by doing. Learn to ask this question. This will help you. Ask God what He thinks. And then learn to prayerfully wait until He answers. You know, we all call up our friends. Women are great at this. No offense. They call up and say, listen, don't call Annie and so-and-so and say, well, what do you think about this? And do you know what my husband did to me today? No. You want to complain? You want to ask some questions? Ask God. Say, what do you think about this? Learn to say this. Can I run this by you? To the Father. Say, let me run this by you. Ask God for His opinion. Do you think He has a good opinion? Yeah. Right? And then learn to prayerfully, faithfully wait for the answer. See? Ask God what He thinks and listen. You see, it's easier to go to the prophet or just to follow somebody mindlessly. Because you know what? Then you don't have to read. You don't have to pray. You don't have to study. You don't have to learn to walk with God. You all, if I could have a film of all you guys when you were learning to walk, we all sit here and laugh. This one's bumping into this table. This one, the dog's chasing. This one's falling backwards. But sooner or later, you all began to learn how to what? See, you should apply the same principle to walking in the Spirit or walking by the Spirit. And you got to understand that you're going to fall. So don't worry about falling. You didn't worry about falling when you were a child, did you? You succeeded, didn't you? Well, that's what you should do. Be mindful of the Spirit of God that's inside of you and begin to learn to listen to it and do what it's prompting you.